For our call to worship, I want to turn your attention to Psalm 47, which is also our public scripture reading. But just like last week, as I began meditating and studying the psalm for the public scripture reading, I realized it would work well as both a call to worship and then later for our public scripture reading. So I'm going to give you the first four verses this morning for our call to worship. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. This psalm is really just a sweet, sudden explosion of praise, as if God's people can no longer contain what is inside of them. As we will see in our next section, there's one time we're commanded and exhorted to shout, and literally five times in nine verses we are told to sing the praises of our great God. If I were going to give a sermon title to this, if I were preaching through it, I would call it Sing Praises to the Ascended Christ. Sing Praises to the Ascended Christ, because that's really what the psalm is all about. Five times we are told to sing praises, but the Bible never tells us to worship God in a vacuum. By which I mean, the scriptures always give us content. They tell us about God's truth to tell us why should you praise God? Why should you worship Him? And there are at least three different reasons given in just these first four verses. The first one is this. Notice it says, oh, clap your hands, all you people, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Here's the first reason. Four. For the Lord Most High is awesome. And because He's awesome, you should praise Him. You should worship Him. But not only that, He's a great king over all the earth. How high is He? He's so high that He's a great king over all the earth. He rules over all the nations. Listen to Spurgeon's words here. It says, He is a great king over all the earth, not over Judea only, but even to the utmost isles His reign extends. Our God is no local deity, no petty ruler of a tribe. In infinite majesty, He rules the mightiest realms as absolute arbiter of destiny, sole monarch of all lands, King of kings and Lord of lords. Not a hamlet or an isle is excluded from His dominion. How glorious will that era be when this is seen and known of all, when in the person of Jesus, all flesh shall behold the glory of the Lord. That's why, it's because God is the great ruler over all the earth, that verse 1 doesn't say, clap your hands, all you Israelites. Notice what it says, clap your hands, all you peoples. That is, God is worthy to be praised by every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. He's not just the glory of His people Israel. Jesus is the light of the Gentiles. Most of us in this room are Gentiles. That means that we have an interest in Christ. And we would not have an interest in Christ if He was not the light of the Gentiles. But He's not through yet. Even in these first four verses, He gives us a third reason to give God praise. Notice verses 3 and 4. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom He loves. When it says He will subdue the peoples under us, the Old Testament Jew looking at that would conclude, okay, someday Israel is going to be the great national superpower. But I believe that when we look at this with the fuller light of the New Testament, we realize there's something bigger going on here than superpowers and politics. What He's saying is this, as God's people, we as the church are in this present age persecuted by the world. And we will endure tribulation in this present age. But that will not last forever. There will come a day in the age to come in which, first of all, God is subduing some of His enemies and some of our enemies under His feet in this present age by granting them repentance. Think of Paul. Paul, who wanted to persecute the church, and yet God subdued him by granting him repentance and making him one of His own people. But for those who do not bow the knee, to those who resist and will not repent and will not believe on Christ, ultimately we will find them put under the feet of Christ. We will see them subdued. And in the age to come, there will be no more persecution because our great God will avail to conquer all. So this morning, let's gather together. We have gathered together in the name of Christ to worship Him. So let's worship Him because He is a great and an awesome God. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank You that though it's rainy outside and a little bit chilly, We have a roof over our head this morning. We have warm air to keep us comfortable. We have you. We have your Spirit. We have one another. And we would pray, Father, through the merits of Christ, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that you would grant us grace, that we could worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray, Lord, that not only will you meet with us, but wherever your people are gathered in all the earth, we pray that the gospel will be preached with great power, that many new converts will be added to your kingdom, and that your people will be sanctified and challenged and edified and built up in the most holy faith. Meet with us this day, not only in our worship, but even in our afternoon business meeting. We pray that the Spirit will govern everything that's said and done. And we ask it in Jesus' name.